You're listening to Esprit Radio.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
That's right. Welcome to our neighborhood. Welcome to Black on Black Crime, our point counterpoint program where we talk issues, news. Sometimes we play a game or two, but we don't do crime. If you're not familiar with our program, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. You can join in on today's topic by calling in or sending your comments in the chat room. With that being said, on with the show.
Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. I'm your host, Jerome. On today's program, we're honoring Maya Angelou, who passed this week. So we're going to honor the phenomenal woman, Dr. Maya Angelou. We have clips from Dr. Angelou on Arsenio, from MLK Day, some words to Tupac that she made. You know, she talked to him and said some things to him during the filming of Poetic Justice. We have a clip of that, so I'll actually play that. Denzel Washington actually had a speech on spirituality, and it went viral. We're going to play that clip and possibly an Uncle Ruckus watch for Stacey Dash. Stacey Jass, she joined Fox News. So we're going to talk about that. We have entertainment updates and more. So, again, welcome to Black on Black Crime. Now, if you have any questions or comments, send them to bobc@soulofsyracuse.com, or you can check out our show page, or one of our show pages, on Facebook. It's BOBC Show. That's on Facebook. And also, if you want to just check us out, just go to soulofsyracuse.com/BOBC, and you can check out some of our shows in archive. Now, if you, you know, just coincidentally, before we get started into the program, you know I like to give us some news and entertainment information. But I was looking at one of our past shows where we talked about Sloane Stephens and Serena Williams, you know, whether they had a black-on-black crime moment going on. But Sloane Stephens is still playing where Serena and Venus lost in the first round of the tennis tournament that they're in. I can't even think of the name of it. But they both lost, but Sloane is still playing, and she's doing quite well. So if you get a chance to see it, ESPN, I don't know what country they're in, but I had to watch it pretty early in the morning, I think, just to check out Sloane Stephens. But she's doing a great job. Now, if you have any news or information that you would like to give us or would like us to talk about, you can also, or black-on-black crime stuff that you want to talk about, you can send those to bobc@soulofsyracuse.com, and, you know, we might add that to the program. All right. So with all of that being said, let's go into our introduction for today's show. Now, if you didn't know, Luther Vandross, R&B singer, legend, Luther Vandross will receive his star on Hollywood's Walk of Fame tomorrow. Now, in the press release from the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce, the singer will be honored posthumously outside of Capitol Records in Los Angeles. Now, Vandross' star will be presented to his niece, and a friend, Alfonso Fonzie Thornton. His niece's name is Savetta Williams, and fans of Luther Vandross will be available to stream the ceremony at, you know, you can watch it at www.walkoffame.com. If you don't know, the multi-Grammy award winner is still considered one of the greatest voices in the history of R&B and soul. So his 13th and final studio album was Dance With My Father. It earned him 4 Grammys. Not that the Grammys is all that, but earned him 4 Grammys, and If you didn't know, Luther Vandross passed away at age 51 due to a heart attack. So, you know, I'm sure all of the Luther Vandross fans will be happy to know that he will get his walk, his star in front of Capitol Records. Now, Dave Chappelle, his current, has added three more shows in New York this month. Dave Chappelle Stay at Radio City Music Hall will feature live performances from artists including Busta Rhymes, DJ Premier, and Erykah Badu, and The Roots, by the way. If you didn't see his last summer jam, I think he did last year, the Erykah Badu and The Roots were there. It was a really good show. I know they released it on DVD, so he might do that again when they release it back on DVD. But the lineups for these three shows for June 24th is The Roots. June 25th is Janelle Monáe, Busta Rhymes, and DJ Premier. And on the 26th is Erykah Badu. So if you are in New York City, near Radio City Music Hall, Dave Chappelle Comedy Tour starts June 24th. 24th, 5th, and 6th. Well, actually, those are three new shows, so I don't know when it starts, but those are the added-on shows. Now, last month, Cedric the Entertainer announced that he was leaving the syndicated TV version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire next season. You're probably never going to guess who's coming in instead, but it's going to be actor Terry Crews who will be replacing him after 1 year on the job. Now, Cedric said he cited his busy schedule as the reason for him leaving, but who knows that what's going on in Hollywood. Sometimes they do that. Sometimes they come through and sometimes they don't. But Cedric the Entertainer is leaving, and Terry Crews will be on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire if he's not on everything else already. Now, news of Beverly Hills Cop 4 movie were first confirmed in July when it was announced that Eddie Murphy would reprise his role as Axel Foley. The story's fourth film will see Foley return to Detroit, and apparently that film is back on, so Eddie Murphy will return for Beverly Hills Cop 4. They didn't have a release date or anything scheduled, but I think they're shooting it over the summer, so we'll have to see how that goes for another Axel Foley movie. Now, I have to say, I have a lot of respect for Eddie Murphy, and he's always done a great job. He will, if not one of the greatest movie stars of all, he got to be pretty close. Now, in a statement released by Lisa Price, who's the founder of Carol's Daughter, the natural beauty hair skin care brand, it clarifies some ongoing confusion concerning the company's financial situation. Now, according to the Wall Street Journal, the company filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy after it closed down 5 of its 7 stores and let go more than half of its employees. The only store that will remain open is its Brooklyn and Harlem locations. Now, Carol's Daughter products are currently sold in over 2,500 stores, including Target and Sephora. The owner of Carol's Daughter said that it is important to set the record straight, is what she wrote. Carol's Daughter is still strong after 21 years, and the future has never looked brighter. As a part of our increased focus on our retail channels, we decided to close 5 stores. This was portrayed as if we were having some challenges, but nothing can be farther from the truth. Price originally founded Carol's Daughter in 1993 out of her apartment kitchen in Brooklyn, and it has since expanded into a multi-million dollar beauty company and has recruited big name investors like Will and Jada Smith and Jay-Z and Alicia Keys. So Carol's Daughter is doing fine. She just wanted to make sure she put that out there since they closed down some of their stores. It is still available online if you want to check out Carol's Daughter. Now, this is not a black-on-black crime, but since I'm doing news and information to start off the show, before we start, I just want to remind you, our main topic today, we're honoring Maya Angelou. We have some clips from Maya Angelou. We have her poem, Phenomenal Woman, so I should keep calling her Phenomenal Dr. Maya Angelou. So we have that, some other things, a clip of her on Arsenio. We'll talk about that. But before we go to that, actor George Clooney, this is not a black-on-black crime, but actor George Clooney set the record straight when he was having dinner with hotel casino owner Steve Wynn, you know, in Vegas. And Wynn called President Obama a butt. He used the A word. And Wynn had an interview and denied his comments and also suggested that Clooney had been drinking too much at the time of dinner. So Clooney, this is George Clooney, fired back in People magazine saying that Steve Wynn and I have met three times, two times over dinner, and that's the extent of our knowledge of one another, so I refrain from trying to categorize them based on the little time that we spent together. But I will not let his version of the truth go unchallenged. He now says that he didn't call the president A, as that's false. He bellowed, "I voted for A," and then called him the same thing several more times at dinner, and it came to an abrupt end. He said, again, there were eight people at the table, eight witnesses. I did, in turn, call him the same body part and walked out again. He can make up whatever story he wants, but these are the facts. He said, "I drank 16 shots of tequila." He said, "I didn't drink one shot of tequila, not one. We were drinking, but that was early, and we had still two events to attend." So that was George Clooney. No black-on-black crime there, but it's interesting. I didn't see the story get reported, so I wanted to make sure that I put that out there to say that George Clooney just was not having that from Steve Wynn. Who knew that they were fighting like that on the other side, since there's no opposite black-on-black crime shows out there. All right. I just want to remind you, you're listening to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. You can call in. Join us, 909-255-9189. We will come back with more black-on-black crime. And we're talking my aunt books. And I don't know. I might have lost the words. We'll be back after this badges. All right.
From the frozen tundra, deep inside the White House kitchen, Richard Sherman and his Seahawk sous chefs are hard at work to create a healthy school lunch that kids will love. This is how champions are made. Let's go to our sideline reporter to hear more.
Richard, take me through your final plate.
Well, let me tell you, we're the best chefs in the game. So when you try us with an easy meal like salmon cake and succotash, that's the result you're going to get.
Wow, Richard, where'd you learn how to do all this? I mean, corn, succotash, salmon cake?
Well, Ms. Obama, I know how important it is for everybody to eat right. And whether you're a pro athlete or just a kid at school wanting a healthy meal, you got to put the right fuel in your body in order to perform at your best.
I couldn't agree more, Richard. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, guys, ready to eat?
Always ready to eat.
Good.
Nice. This succotash had a little kick to it.
All right, sir, could you throw me a bottle of water, please?
Woo! You know what's doing that?
Good job.
That's insane.
Yep, and you can customize it. I can download anything I want.
Seriously? That's a lot of music.
Seriously?
That's insane.
And it's $15 a month for the family.
Seriously? That's a lot of gold rope.
Seriously? That's a signature look.
You don't have a signature look, honey.
That's a signature look.
Only AT&T brings you Beats Music. Unlimited downloads for up to 5 accounts and 10 devices. All for $14.99 a month.
Introducing the all-new 2013 Nissan Pathfinder.
Hi.
It seats 7.
Hi.
Or 2. And with a 13-speaker Bose sound system and newly redesigned exterior, you'll go everywhere in style.
Hi.
And Pathfinder's Tri-Zone Entertainment System.
My movie just ended.
Ours, too.
Keeps everyone entertained. The all-new Nissan Pathfinder. It's our most innovative Pathfinder ever.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. You have tuned in to the program that's honoring phenomenal woman, Dr. Maya Angelou. We have got Kai, author and columnist Kai Sims coming on. The commiss, Kathleen, is coming on. We'll have to see what they have to say about Maya Angelou. We have a clip from her on Arsenio, a clip from her on Canadian show where she actually talks about Tupac, and also later on in the program, Denzel Washington gave a speech on spirituality that went viral. So I also have that on tap, and also, in case we get to it, Uncle Ruckus Watch, Stacey Dash joins Fox News. So we'll see how the show pans out and see if we want to bring it down a notch to talk about Stacey Dash, but we have that. We have more entertainment updates and all of that good stuff. So I just want to welcome you back to the program on Black Crime. You can call in 909-265-9189 to join us on this particular program. Dr. Maya Angelou passed away this week, and throughout her career, she received many awards and accolades, including more than 30 honorary degrees. She was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2011, which is the highest honor that an American civilian can receive. Dr. Maya Angelou is author, educator, historian, and civil rights activist. She's one of the greatest voices in contemporary literature. The school that she worked at was Wake Forest in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. They actually made the announcement, I guess, that she passed away. They said over a course of her long career, she wrote several more volumes of an autobiography, collections of poetry, personal essays, plays, children's books, and even two cookbooks. Her works have become American classics and have appeared on high school and university curriculums across the country. She has a long history living in Africa, marching with Dr. Martin Luther King. She was friends with Malcolm X. I'm sure you'll be surprised at all of these great things that she did. She and James Baldwin was friends. She also addressed Tupac secure when meeting him and addressed him on cursing that fell out of his mouth, but we're going to play that clip. Maya just said that she connected with him to his root and the path lay before him. She informed him that she had her eyes on him, and they were steady and loving and guiding him away from the mess done to him by the culture. So Maya Angelou affected a lot of people. We're going to really get into that. But first, I think we have Kai on. Kai, if you hit one of your line when you're ready to come in, I will bring Kai in. But I just want to remind you, listen to Black on Black Crime. This is not really Black on Black Crime, but we really want to honor Dr. Maya Angelou on this program. So we have author, poet, and columnist Kai Sims on the line. Hey, girl, how are you doing?
Hi. Sorry if I cough in your ear. I have allergies,
no,
so it's
fine.
Not a cold.
So do I. So do I. I kind of stumbled earlier because of that. I'm like, I don't know if I'm way too congested. Do I need to sneeze?
Yeah.
What do I need to do
to clear myself up?
It's that time
apart,
of year.
But how are you? Long time no talk to.
I know. You've been. Well, we've all been missing. So we've been missing, but we're good.
Yes.
We're good. You know, I wanted to talk about this, Kai, about Maya Angelou, and before we go into it, you know, Wake Forest University released the following statement when she passed. They said, "Today, members of our Wake Forest University community mourn the loss of beloved poet, author, actress, civil rights activist, and professor Dr. Maya Angelou. Dr. Angelou was a national treasure whose life and teachings inspired millions around the world, including countless students, faculty, and staff at Wake Forest. where she served as the Reynolds Professor of American Studies since 1982. Our thoughts and prayers are with Dr. Angela's family and friends during this difficult time. Details about the campus memorial service will be shared at a later date. So, you know, her recent health problems led her to cancel an appearance this upcoming Friday at the MLB Beacon Award Luncheon, where she was honored with the Beacon of Life Award, one of more than 50 awards that she received. She posted this final tweet on May 23rd. It said, "Listen to yourself, and in that quietude, you might hear the voice of God." That was her final tweet.
How is that?
I have appreciation for our elders, but I'm not sure if I ever appreciated Maya Angelou to the extent that most poets like yourself. Tell me, as a poet, what has Maya Angelou stood for you?
You know what? I have to honestly say I'm guilty of, I was so influenced by her work. I read I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, and my life was forever changed. But even as a poet and a writer and all of those accolades that she has that I aspire to have one day, I still did not have a full appreciation for the magnitude of who she is until her passing. So I was watching an interview she did with Common, and I was fascinated at how she can cross the line from hip-hop to urban culture to rock and roll. I mean, she was so well-versed, and I think even Common was surprised. And then I watched the Legends Ball, and there she was again. And, you know, Oprah's paying so much respect to her, but in a way I felt guilty that even me coming, you know, a writer and a poet and all those things that she represented, there was still so much about her that I was learning after she had passed. And I'm still learning. So it's just
right.
Phenomenal woman. I mean, she couldn't have written it any better. There's no two words that could describe her any better than that. It was just amazing to me. And at first, you know, I was sad. I was like, oh, my gosh, Maya Angelou passed on. Or I like to refer to her as Dr. Maya Angelou.
Dr. Maya Angelou, yes.
But I was like, oh, my God. I woke up and saw the news, and then I was sad. And then I thought, you know what? How could I be sad? She touched so many lives. I mean, people that you would never expect. Young suburban kids, young urban kids. So many people were affected by her life. She went peacefully, you know, in her sleep. And, you know, I was like, how could we be sad? It was a blessing. She was a gift to us, you know, and it's God loaned her to us. And we would be selfish to try to keep her.
And the one thing, even when I look at our just culture generally, that we seem to think when someone turns 30 that they're old. I don't know why that is in our culture. It's like they're irrelevant. And early on, I talked about Beverly Hills Cop 4. They're about to actually make that. And I'm thinking out of all of the work that Eddie Murphy has done, I think he is really underappreciated. It's really weird to me that he's still so young that when he gets around Red Fox's age before, you know, like when he gets old and gray, then you'll go back and go, gosh, I can't believe you did that. But you go through a span from about 30 to about 60 where nobody appreciates you. You get about 30-year window and nobody gives you. And then people look back, you know, and say some wonderful things about you. It's kind of like Dick Gregory. I think we take Dick Gregory for granted.
Yes,
but
definitely.
TV One did a unsung on Dick Gregory. And
I did
on
see
the
that.
Did you see it?
I saw, and once again, I felt ashamed that, you know, I should have known all that. How could I have not known how influential he was?
As much as they sacrificed and did.
Right.
To not know while they're still walking, talking to us. So
Maya
Angelou loved everybody in the moment, and that's why she wasn't scared to talk to anybody. She said, look, this is how I feel about you. Yeah.
And she pulled comment on they were talking about the use of the N-word, and, you know, he admitted to using the word. And when she broke it down as to why she broke it. She went back to the minstrel days and the power that they used when they used the word, and she got into the character of, say, a Jim Crow or someone who would have been using it in that context. I was like, every person, every young person should watch this documentary to have an appreciation for just the history of where we come from. Whether you use the word or don't use the word, at least know what the meaning of the word, where it originated. And she just broke it down, and Common was like, wow. You know, I was like, what is she doing talking to Common? You know, but
well,
she was
Common,
definitely phenomenal.
Common came, she did a, he used a clip of her audio on one of his songs, and he cursed a lot in the song. So that's where that conflict came in. So they kept saying that she might have a conflict with Common, and Common actually sat down and talked to her, and she began
to
explain.
And that was so awesome because they were having a conversation. I was like, wow, two totally different worlds, but they both can relate to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was
and
pretty
so,
awesome.
And, you know, but here's my thought about that generally, is that we all relate to each other. We all come from the same space, and we all think, like, it's new. It's new to be ghetto. It's new to be, like, that is kind of who we are as a folks, that we relate to all those aspects of being black because they all are a part of us. Like, we can't dismiss one for the other.
And if you didn't know any better, you just it just looks like a young man talking to his aunt, his great aunt, or his, you know, we're all related, and she was just having a cop schooling him on what he didn't know, asking questions, sharing information. I said, see, that's how it should be.
Yeah.
You know, generations apart, but they're educating each other.
Yeah. Now, before I go on with, I know I brought up Dick Gregory earlier because, you know, I think Dick Gregory is not appreciated. But when I saw the Unsung, I just want to say this before we go back to Dr. Angelou, is that in his Unsung, he said, President Kennedy called his house, right? Because he and Dr. King were friends. And so Dick Gregory kind of walked away in doing mainstream stuff because he wanted to support Martin Luther King. So Dick Gregory said he came back out of night at the club. You know, he's a comic. So at the club, he comes back and his wife says, the president called you. You need to return it. He's like, I'm not calling him. He's like, you need to call the president. So he said it was really late at night. He actually got through the White House. President Kennedy said to Dick Gregory, don't go to Alabama. Dr. King is wrong, is what President JFK said to Dick Gregory. So Gregory said, now this is where I think we lose our respect for the works that our elders put in. But here was Dick Gregory's response. He said, should I call you Mr. President or should I call you boy? As right as you think you are, he's righter than you, and as wrong, and you're wronger than him, and I'm going. And he went to Alabama. That's what Dick Gregory said to President John F. Kennedy when he called him, telling him not to support MLK.
Wow.
On that note, back to Maya Angelou. Now, I'm sorry, I just had to put that out there because I'm saying that Dr. Maya Angelou was friends with Malcolm X, and she was supporting Martin. On Arsenio Hall's show, she started talking about it, but we're going to go to that. But before we do that, let's bring in the commish. Hey, Kathleen, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. Hey, how are you?
How are you?
I'm good, thank you, but I'm excited to be here. Thank you so much, Rome, for doing this show.
And, you know, Kai, it was Kathleen who inspired the show today. She said, I want to talk about Dr. Maya Angelou. And I said,
Yes. And what better place to have this conversation?
But there you go.
Amen.
There you go.
Thank you. Thank you all.
you're welcome. We try to accommodate every now and then. You know, that's kind of what I try not to just go on a limb on myself. Now, although I do have as backup, you know, later on in the show, not technically black on black crimes, but stuff that will make us cuss. So I'm going to try to keep that to a minimum on the Maya Angelou show. You know, I said this before, Stacey Dash joined Fox News, but that's a whole other story. But anyway, I have some memorable quotes from Dr. Maya Angelou. But first, before we go there, let's talk to the commissioner, Kathleen. How has this impacted you, and what were your thoughts when you found out that Dr. Maya Angelou passed?
Well, I gasped when I heard that she had passed, and I have a pretty powerful story to tell you if I have a moment before we go to break. I won't take too long.
No, we're going to go for it.
We're good. The week before, and I want to say, so it wasn't Memorial Day, right? So it was May 19th. Mm-hmm. On Monday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Susan Taylor held a conference call featuring Dr. Maya Angelou. And it was for a lot of the people that have been working with her in the CARES mentoring programs around the country. And there were many other people, I'm sure, from around the world that were on the line. And I work for Susan as part of the Queen's CARES mentoring program. So I got an invitation to be on this call. So Dr. Maya Angelou shared some incredible wisdom on that call. And she wasn't feeling well. You could tell in her voice and so forth. And Susan did let us know that she had just had a treatment from her doctor and that she wasn't feeling her best. But because she had promised to do this call, she did it anyway, and she shared incredible wisdom. What was so incredibly powerful was at the end of the call, they opened it up to anyone on the line who wanted to ask a question. They said that they could take just a couple because they wanted to let her go. And they took three questions that evening, and mine was the second question. I had an opportunity to speak live to Dr. Maya Angelou on May 19th, 2014, a week before she passed away.
Oh, my God. I have a chill now. Oh, my goodness.
Me too. I had a chill that day. I had a chill the day that I got to speak to her, and the wisdom that she gave me was incredible, and I cried through much of it, and so I'm so happy that I did get to record that little segment.
Mm-hmm.
When I heard that she passed away, you know, sometimes we say God is good but don't really realize it, you know.
Right.
And it was just in that moment, I was like, what grace. What grace, because she's been a hero of mine. She was a hero of my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And she passed away the day after what would have been my mother's 94th birthday.
Oh, my God.
Man.
So this has been such a powerful, powerful experience and time of year for me. This, you know, my mom's birthday is always something that really takes me to another place. But mm-hmm. when Dr. Angelou passed, it just brought more of this culmination of grace from, you know, two incredible women in my life, mm-hmm. not only Dr. Angelou and my mother, and then I'm studying with another woman that my mom was crazy about and has been such a blessing to me, Dr. Barbara DeAngelis.
Mm-hmm.
And what I realized about Dr. Angelou and about Dr. DeAngelis, which is something that my mom, I think, set the tone for, is that those women did not let any grass grow under their feet. They did not hide not one ounce of their talent
mm-hmm.
or the gift that they were given to bring to this world. They gave it freely mm-hmm. to all. They wrote, they taught, they did. They acted, they did what they came here to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when she left here, Dr. Angelou, she has no regret,
mm-hmm.
you know, and she just continued to bless people. And
mm-hmm.
that's what touched me so, and what I intend to do from every
mm-hmm.
minute that God gives me left on this earth, that's where I'm going. And I
mm-hmm.
challenge my sisters and brothers and everyone who's listening to really get to know what gift you have and
right.
give it relentlessly.
Right.
No. Yeah, after all of the titles that Dr. Angelou has from author and poet and professor and, you know, the 30 honorary doctrines that she has, you're right. It's like no grass grew under her feet,
mm-hmm.
and it inspires me just to even have that. Even looking at her resume stuff is crazy to me because we're all taught that we have ADD once you do two different things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you say, hey, I'm doing this, but I'm writing a book, but I'm doing this, people will look at you like, why don't you just focus on one thing? And when you look at Dr. Angelou,
because I thought
it's what we're supposed to do.
Oh, my gosh, that's so good to do. So encouraging. I thought
right.
something was wrong
but,
with me.
No, but that's what we're supposed to do. You know, mm-hmm. and while I'm at it, I just want to say that I'm gonna play this clip from Arsenio. I don't know, did you guys see the Martin Luther King Arsenio Hall show on Martin Luther King's birthday on that Monday?
I didn't.
It was probably, you didn't see it? He had Maya Angelou via phone. She was, not feeling well. So he had her on the phone. I want to play that clip for you guys to listen to. I just want to remind everyone, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. We're here every Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're honoring Dr. Maya Angelou on today's show. This is a clip of Maya Angelou on Arsenio.
Please welcome on the phone from her home, the legendary Dr. Maya Angelou. Yes. Yes. Dr. Angelou?
Yes, sir. Good evening, sir.
How are you, ma'am? Happy Martin Luther King Day to you.
I'm wonderful. I'm so excited to be talking to Arsenio Hall. Oh, my dear, I'm so proud of you and so grateful. I know we're really in the world of entertainment when I know that Arsenio Hall is back on television.
Thank you. Thank you. Dr. Angelou, you worked with Dr. King, correct?
Yes.
Yes, and he actually died on your birthday?
Yes, he did.
Wow.
He was killed on my birthday.
And so how was that day for you, and how did you deal with it?
Well, I had agreed to come back with him, to work with him for 1 month and to raise money so that he could continue his dream to do the march, the Poor People's March. And so I said yes, after my birthday I would join him. And then on that day, while I was making a party, I said I would join him after my friends in New York, my sophisticated New York friends, could get together when we would give a party. And that day, he was killed on my birthday. I had no way of knowing how to live through that. I had been a friend and sister friend to Malcolm X, and he also was killed. And it was a terrible experience for me. As it was for the United States.
Yes.
What we have learned is that men and women live in direct relation to the heroes and sheroes they have. And the heroes and sheroes are their poets.
Yes.
Our poets are men and women who dare to love enough, to care enough, to name our children for each other. And so Martin and Malcolm, they're dying, have taught us a great deal about who we are.
Yes.
And who we really are is that we are men and women of courage. We dare to look at each other in the face and say, hello, hello friend, hello my brother, hello my sister, hello my hope, my dream. And so today, all over the world, men and women are celebrating Martin Luther King.
Yes. Yes, Dr. Angelou. You know what? One of the reasons You know, I told people here I wouldn't be here without Dr. King. And one of the reasons I wanted to come out and just do what I do and try to make people smile and laugh is because you told me a long time ago that Martin Luther King had a great sense of humor, Doctor.
It's true. It's true. You know, people think that that all you have to do is make jokes. But you see, Arsenio, what you've done and what I know you to do is you have enough courage to say to people, I am a human being. Nothing human can be alien to me. This is who you are, and this is how you continue to show us, men and women, that it's all right to laugh. In fact, we live in direct relation to the heroes and sheroes we have. And so we better laugh, not to laugh at anyone else, but to laugh at ourselves. Have enough courage to say, I am a human being. I dare to love myself. I dare to love my men and women. I dare to be an African-American who is courageous and can embrace each other.
Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you. Please give it up for Dr. Maya Angelou. Thank you, ma'am.
I don't know what to say about that, but as I listen to it, I don't know why that doesn't make everybody want to be better.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just like hearing her voice and say that. It's the reason why I always loved our elders. When I was very little, of course, you know, I sat many a days around your parents and just in my aunts and uncles, and just having that kind of calmness and wisdom is greatly not, I wouldn't say greatly missed, but it's just not appreciated when people are there telling you that stuff.
Right. This is true. And, you know, the one thing I did say, and I have to admit, too, and it's so funny that, Kathleen, you said that, too, is after watching just, I mean, I didn't know they said that she was the first female director, black or white. The first female director, I was like, and they were just reading off all these accolades, and the first thing I thought is, I got so much more work to do. I mean, I just, I really got to get it in gear. And then I started feeling guilty, like, okay, God gives us all this talent, and if we don't use it, you know, it's almost arrogant of us not to use it.
Mm-hmm.
If he's blessed us with whatever our talent is, how do we not use it? You know, people say, I don't have a talent. Everybody has a gift. Whatever that gift is, you know.
I think we're made to feel bad by our peers, right? So people judge everything by money, and they say,
exactly.
Well, what are you doing to get paid, right? So if you do poetry, it's like, is that making you any money? If you sew, is that making you any money? Instead of doing what you love, and that is the end-all, be-all. If you do something that means something to you, you have value. That's where your value is. And that's very difficult the way we've been so society-wise grounded in all of, if I can say bull, all is bull, you know. Kathleen, what do you think about that and hearing, well, Kathleen, hopefully she doesn't have us on mute right now about.
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't have
Kathleen. Okay. From listening to her and Arsenio, I mean, I know a lot of people miss that, but it's interesting hearing her tell the stories about what she did in the civil rights movement, because those guys weren't getting paid for the civil rights movement. They were flying across the country doing anything that they needed to do to make money to make sure they go support somebody. Martin Luther King didn't have money like that. None of those guys were rich.
That's right. That's right.
Right.
And, you know, I'm still a little stunned by what she offered about offering to work with him after her birthday and him dying on her birthday.
I'm telling you, the moving thing to me is to, even in retrospect, even in their own words, with Maya Angelou looking at people like Dick Gregory, looking at other people who were involved in movement, looking at this saying, you know, Martin and Malcolm had mutual friends and they all kind of got along, where we learn that it's either one or the other. Like, they didn't like each other.
Yeah.
It's interesting hearing that from friends of both.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Remember, they would have to have respect for each other. If we know ourselves, and therefore we have a very deep understanding, innate understanding of our people. And just to think about the time that that Malcolm X and Dr. King lived through, there could be no way that those men were not talking. There just would be no way that they were not
talking.
They
had way too many mutual friends as well.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Right?
Caring deeply for each other, understanding that they were both of them were putting, not exclusive of all the others, but both of them were putting their life on the line for their people. How could they not have a deep love for one another? They were doing things in different ways, maybe with through different faiths, but there is one God, you know. So they had to, it would be insane otherwise. So and it was purposeful that we were taught that they were enemies,
that they were opposites. Exactly,
because the whole order of the day was to destroy both men. And to destroy them by any means necessary. And one way, as we learned from Willie Lynch, whether that letter is authentic or not, was the main primary reason, to destroy the black race is divisiveness. Divide them however you need to. The color, belief, conservative, liberal, black, white, you know, kill, don't kill, violence, nonviolence, you know, just divide them so that they're, at each other's throats, so they think they are, and then we win.
Yeah. Even with that, I mean, I guess hearing my Angela, like in her own words, calling, Malcolm a friend and putting aside what she was doing to go support Martin in the Poor People's March, one of the things kind of stuck out to me is how, the women in the civil rights movement was the glue anyway. I think they drove it. But and you needed that for support, like always. Like, we don't really fight about that, but we fight about it in public. Like, there is some big struggle over who was leading what. And just in her words and the way that she speaks about those things, she spoke about it like a matter-of-factly. She was like,
I think that's where the respect comes from, too. They were both friends of hers, and they respected her enough, and they respected each other enough. You know, we have people arguing in the media now over the silliest of things. And these two people from two totally different views of life respected each other enough to not take it to the public and not bash each other. You know what I mean? And I think they respected her enough as a mutual friend. Okay, you go support Martin or you go support Malcolm, but she could be friends with both of them.
Dr. Angela was on this program, I want to say it must have been a couple of years ago. It was this Canadian broadcasting company, it's like the Canadian version of the BBC. This guy, George Frombo, something, it's a long name. He did an interview with Dr. Angela, and when she talked about race, she says, we are more and more becoming intelligent. I don't mean educated, but we Americans are growing up a little bit, and that's a blessing. If we weren't growing, we wouldn't have a black president in there. Black men and women are heading some of the leading universities in the country and corporations, black men and women. Little by little, we grow up. It's hard. Most people don't grow up. They just get older. And so I just love that quote from her. So just having insight, we don't respect our elders enough to even get that type of insight. But here, actually, I have a clip from that show, because she's going to mention Tupac and some other things. I'll just go straight to that clip.
Are you a hard teacher?
Mm-hmm. I'm tough.
Yeah. I'm tough. I'm loving, and I'm tough. I expect that I work very hard, and I want young men and women to know you have to work very hard. Hi, with Richard Pryor and Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock, a number of the men, especially men, but the women too, they have come here to my home in North Carolina to talk to me and to ask me how do I feel about this or that. And they are all my children. I accept that they are my children. I accept that you are. You see, it's important for me to understand that. Then I must tell you the truth as I understand it, because this may, you may be the last person I'll speak to. Life is life and death is death. And so I must be telling the truth when I speak.
You did that with Tupac when Tupac was a bit out of what is in his own space on Poetic Justice. You pulled him aside and you you instructed him.
Yeah.
What was he like?
I didn't know who he was, you know. I knew, I'd heard, well, he was into a big row with another young man. And so I said to him, may I speak to you? And he was cursing, I wouldn't give up. I said, I understand that, but let me speak to you. If these mothers, I said, I got you. However, let me speak to you. And finally, I said, when was the last time anyone told you how important you are? Did you know our people stood on auction blocks, were sold, bought and sold? Did you know, so that you could stay alive today? And finally, he heard me and stopped talking and started to weep. And I put my arms around him and I walked him back into the arena. And he quieted. And I went back to my trailer. And Janet Jackson came running. And she said, Dr. Angelo, I don't believe you actually spoke to Tupac Shakur. So I said, darling, I don't know Six-Pack. I never heard of him. But, I mean, that wasn't in my world.
She didn't know Six-Pack, Tupac. She didn't know none of that. But that's hilarious. But you know, it just again, as she starts to tell the story, and you know, Richard Pryor and Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock and all these people are seeking out Maya Angelou, just saying, tell us what you think is over everybody's head. And I am glad to definitely do this show where we get to honor her, but more importantly, just to have other people starting to come out and saying, hey, here's what we're going to do. It was just announced today that a memorial service was held on Thursday. She passed on Wednesday. Was held on Thursday at Mount Zion Baptist Church in Winston-Salem, where she was a member for over 30 years. And today a private memorial service was announced that is going to be held at Wake Forest Wake Chapel on Saturday, June 7th at 10 a.m. for Dr. Angelou. The university has set up an online location. That's HTTP. It's kind of like www.mayaangelou.wfu, that's Wake Forest University, .wfu.edu/memorial-service/livestream. They're going to show live stream of the memorial service when it takes place on Saturday, June 7th. The school also says that Angelou's family is planning additional events in other cities across the country, but specifics have yet to be released. Her son, Gary B. Johnson, will release information about future events at a later date.
How do you honor her? I mean, to what magnitude do you honor someone? So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's touched so many people's lives, so how, I mean, and on so many levels, there
right.
ain't no one particular way to, oof, it's going to require a lot of work. Can you
right.
imagine
really
what Oprah's going to do?
Actually, I saw an interview with Oprah. She's filming Selma, the movie Selma, and she talked about it, and she said how she had spoke to Dr. Angelou, and she said, when she talked about doing the movie Selma, she said, do it and do it with all your heart. And she encouraged her to go ahead and just get it done. You know, we always need somebody in our lives to encourage us to say, just do it after all the work.
Well, and it's so funny because I was thinking, can you imagine if the world was, if we had more of Dr. Angelou's in the world who would pull the Tupac's or the guy on the street or the guy who's cursing, you know, just pull him to the side and just, can you imagine if we bothered to get involved more, how much of an effect we would have on our younger generation?
Okay, Kai, I'm just going to tell you this because I know we're live on the air, but I have seen you do that many a day.
Oh, I do it now.
just like I've seen your dad do it, Mrs. Sims. Every
time
I think
about
people who step out, he would come off the porch and go, young man, let me talk to you. He walked down the street with him. So,
this guy didn't hold the door open for me. I was like, I know you see me. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm just saying.
So you wouldn't have to talk with him, did you?
I was getting ready to go there, but I was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt that he really did not see me. But, you know, I'm the darkest one in this conversation.
Right. And that is the trick that we just kind of, as a community, sometimes have to step up to the plate and just kind of say something. Just like she said, she didn't know who Tupac was, but she felt compelled that she needed to speak to him about his mouth.
Yeah.
And Tupac respected his elders.
Exactly.
I mean, that's where he grew up. He didn't respect his peers, like people his age and down. But the only people who can talk to you at that point is your elders. And that's where
you know
the responsibility
is. I think it was good that she didn't know who he was because I'm guessing
no
in my mind
bias
that probably humbled him that much more once he figured out who she was.
Oh, right.
That's gotta
and they
be
were
humbled.
On the. Yep, they were on the scene of Poetic Justice. And speaking of that, I want to say that with Dr. Angelou on, what was it, Tyler Perry had her on one of his shows, the Family Reunion.
Yeah.
And she's been in a lot of cameo appearances in things. And I just want to say that I'm always, always happy to see when young filmmakers come in and kind of honor your elders.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
I know Spike Lee with Ozzie Davis and Ruby Dee kind of stuff. And, you know, just I love to see that. They didn't have to cast them, but they put them in there to say,
when they put them in there, can you imagine the movie without them being in there? It wouldn't be the same.
No. Well, we didn't say they weren't professional and good. It's
right.
Not just that. But we're seeing, like, where young people come in and they just go, they're not students of anything. So they just go in and do something and say, hey, I don't need to, y'all had y'all time and be out. Like I said, between the age of 30 and 60, you don't go appreciate. They think you're too old for something. And then it's like, hey, I didn't know you did all this stuff, you know, a little bit later.
Yeah.
Now, here's another quote from that interview from that Canadian program that Dr. Angelou said about being thankful. She said, the best thing always about anything is to try to stay in an attitude of gratitude. Be thankful. Just say thank you. Thank you to God if you happen to have the blessing of being a believer. Thank you to a friend. Thank you to strangers. Thankful to people who don't look like you. Thankful to people who complexion don't jive with your complexion. Just say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That was Dr. Maya Angelou on that same program. Kathleen, you've been quiet.
I know. I know.
Just taking it in.
Yeah.
Are you in your quietude?
It's just breathtaking. As I listen to you talk about the two things you said, and I'm not sure if you said it. Yeah, Kai, you said it, and then something that, Rome, you said. Kai, you said, can you just imagine if there were more Dr. Angelou's to, take our young men and young women aside and just talk to them with that love that she spoke to him with? And what struck me as you said that is, even before Rome said, Kai, you've done that many times, is that, you know, there are three Dr. Angelou's on this line right now, and any number of Dr. Angelou's listening right now, and they need only do what she said, and that's be courageous and be brave, do what she did, which is give freely, generously of their gifts and their wisdom, and also allow themselves to be quiet long enough to hear the wisdom that is within them and trust it, you know, and know that God has given them such precious gifts, just, you know, that he's given us. And there's so many of us that are just too afraid, and like Rome said earlier, you know, just sitting on our talent because so many people told us that we have none. And, you know, it's really powerful. And then, Rome, you said the Chris Rocks and the Dave Chappelle's and the Richard Pryor's of the world went to her to ask her for her wisdom, which she freely gave. And I choked up because I am in that group. I am one of those who was able to go to her and ask her for her wisdom, and that humbled me beyond imagination. And I am so grateful. So, Dr. Angelou, even though I thanked you that night, I want to thank you again for just pouring so much, for pouring into me personally, but pouring so much of yourself into this world to the very last moment of your life. You continue to share your wisdom, and there is no greater gift that we could ask for from you than you.
I mean, and just think, if we don't do it, who's going to do it? Who's gonna lead our generation of young people who don't know who Maya Angelou is and who don't know who Malcolm X is and Dr. King? If we don't share the knowledge of what we know, who else is going to do it? It's almost like it's our responsibility to, you know, you take the chance of being cursed out, but we can't live in fear. You know, and I'm a strong believer of that. We can't live in fear of people because they're, you know, of young people.
Well, of people being misguided. And and that was the point of playing the clip where she talked about being friends with Martin, or being friends with Malcolm and going to help Martin on that Poor People's March, was that our illusion through education says that they were on one side or the other, like there were no mutual friends and people pick sides. But when people sit on the sidelines, they pick sides.
Right.
It's like going to the Million Man March for me and a lot of other people that I know. When we went, nobody felt anything but love at the Million Man March. When I got back, the people who didn't go said, well, what was that all about? And I don't know what's going to happen now that everybody's back. I mean, it was negative from the outside looking in. But inside, it was totally different. I just want to remind everyone, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. We are honoring Dr. Maya Angelou today on the program. We played her clip from Arsenio Hall show from the MLK Day celebration, her words to Tupac. Today, I am actually going to play a speech that's going viral that Denzel Washington gave some students, because it is phenomenal, too, and this can't go under the radar as well. So we have that and some more entertainment updates, but we're not going to take any breaks right now because I want to know, Kai, are you prepared to give us a piece that, you know, Kai was inspired, Kathleen, to write this piece about, what is the name of the piece, Kai?
Hashtag Bring Back Our Girls.
Bring Back Our Girls. And in light of Dr. Angelou passing, I kind of reached out to Kai and said, Kai, you have to do that piece for us. So we have that up. I don't know if you feel like, are you ready to do it now? Or
sure, whenever you're ready. Just let me know. I mean, if you want to go and come back, or whenever you're ready.
Let me give a little setup for it. I'm trying to think. If you want to go check out the article, it's on soulofsyracuse.com on the front page. Go to our columnist, Kai. Go down to her article. Click on it. It will pull up the poem that she's about to do. And you can read it and pass it to a friend. I hope you don't mind, Kai. You know I posted that if you didn't see it.
No, not at all. Thank you.
Columnist and poet Kai Sims. Take it away.
Okay. It's called hashtag Bring Back Our Girls, and like Rome said, I have been working on it in my brain, but didn't put pen to paper until the passing of Dr. Angelou, and I felt like that was a sign that it was time for me to stop thinking about it and put it to paper. So it says, you brag and boast of your manhood and power, yet you cower in the cover of night. You intimidate young women and children, trying to convince us of your power and might. You brainwash little boys when you know they are vulnerable. You force them to live by your rules. You hide behind your weapons and gangs, while all the time you look like fools. Any thug can get what they want from another when they have a weapon in their hand. But I challenge you to educate yourself, that is, if you're a real man. How sad is your life that you are so intimidated by educated women and girls, that you and your group of babbling idiots would actually brag about this to the world? The sad thing is that there are some who support you, some still living in prehistoric ages, when the living roam the earth like savage beasts, when they, like you, should be locked in cages. Now, I'm not one to advocate violence, but I promise you, if I rule the world, we would turn the tables on your sad punk asses. We've had enough of you. Now bring back our girls. And
there
that was
great. There you go.
Wow.
I like that.
Wow.
You know, and Kathleen, I didn't prepare the audience hand claps that Kathleen normally keeps on the board. I know they hear some players, but I think we'll have to figure it out later.
We will wait.
I'm sorry, I was slightly distracted. Oh, my God.
Here's Kathleen's applause.
Thank you very much.
There we go. So, good job, Kai. Again, if you want to check it out, go to solosyracuse.com, and you can see some of Kai's other works that's up there. Didn't you say that you were inspired in working on, in your head, a Maya Angelou poem? Okay.
Which, spirit to spirit, she's telling me, I can hear her in that voice, all right, Kai.
Yeah. Let's
get it together. Yeah. You know, she has that voice that just goes right through you, you know. But I'm listening. I'm gonna work on that next.
Okay. Yeah, you gotta listen to keep it moving now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some other memorable quotes by Maya Angelou that I kind of jot down. I don't know if you guys have any, but here's what I jotted down. She said, "There is no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside of you." Isn't that perfect for what you just said, Kai?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Oh, my gosh, I got a chill. Wow, I hadn't heard that one.
I said that earlier. Now, she also said, "I don't trust people who don't love themselves and yet tell me I love you. There is an African saying which is, be careful when a naked person offers you a shirt." I think that speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't want to do that. Kathleen, you can probably use that in a sermon. But you don't really want to say that. That's all I have to say.
I am telling you, wow.
Be careful when a naked person offers you a shirt.
That's deep. Wow.
Now, she said, now also, if you don't like something, change it. And if you can't change it, change your attitude and don't complain. You know, that was always my saying is don't look at it if you don't like what you're seeing. Just go the other way. And what's the name of the book? I Know Why the Cage Bird Sings.
I Know Why the Cage Bird Sings. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Here's a quote from Maya Angelou. A bird doesn't sing because it has the answer. It sings because it has a song. So when you have a song to sing, just sing.
Mm.
Don't matter what your song is. All right. And my last memorable quote from Dr. Angelou is, success is liking yourself, liking what you do, and liking how you do it. That's success.
Wow.
Right.
Implicit in that is the fact that you actually do it.
Exactly.
Yes.
Oh, I got some work to do. Jeez.
Yeah.
You got me thinking.
You have no work to do.
Yeah.
All right. I want to welcome everybody online and say, if you hit one on your line, I will bring you in just hit one. You can comment on any of the program. You know, before we move on to, I have an inspiring clip. Dr. Angela is giving me some inspiration today. So, well, probably for the rest of my day, she is giving me inspiration. But there's a clip from Denzel Washington. He spoke to some acting students. And it's gone viral. Like, it's gone crazy. I don't know if you guys have seen it or heard about it.
No,
I heard about it. I haven't seen it.
Okay. Now, Denzel Washington, the two-time Oscar-winning Denzel Washington, should I say that? He was big from back in the day. I don't even want to start with my little gripe. I'm trying not to complain today. My little gripe with Julia Roberts. I don't know if you ever heard the story, but Julia Roberts, when... What's the movie that he did with her?
The Pelican Brief.
Yes. Julia Roberts took this particular liking to Denzel, right? So Julia is big by then. I think she did Pretty Woman by then, maybe. And she said, so they go on a set of in New Orleans, and she goes, there are women lined up, like his trailer, following him. She said, they were ignoring me, and I was wondering, why are they doing that for Denzel? She didn't know who he was. And then she said, I feel like I discovered him. After all of those people were following him around, now she feels like she's his introduction into the white world.
Isn't that sad? She really did. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. She was like, I discovered him after all of those women discovered him.
Oh, she said she couldn't figure out.
What are all these people here to see? I'm Julia Roberts. She's Rick James. Yeah.
Because nobody knew who Julia Roberts was. They discovered her. By doing that movie with Denzel, she got a new audience.
It was,
I don't know
exactly.
I'm not sure Pretty Woman was before that. I think Pretty Woman was after. But I'm familiar with Julia Roberts after going to see Denzel in that movie.
That's a sad commentary that she feels like she discovered him. That was just kind of me. I'm like, I feel kind of disrespected. But anywho, since you guys didn't hear, this is Denzel on Dreams and Goals to some acting students. And I think that this, in the spirit of Maya Angelou, is what we expect elders to do. So here's Denzel.
True desire in the heart for anything good is God's proof to you, sent beforehand to indicate that it's yours already. So the desire you have, that itch that you have to be whatever it is you want to be, in front of the camera, on the stage, behind the stage, that itch, that desire for good is God's proof to you, sent already to indicate that it's yours. You already have it. Claim it. Understand this. Understand this also. You have these dreams. And as Kenny said, dreams without goals remain dreams, just dreams, and ultimately fuel disappointment. Dreams without goals, yearly goals, life goals, daily goals, monthly goals, hourly goals, minute-by-minute goals. Dreams without goals are just dreams, and they ultimately fuel disappointment. Goals on the road to achievement cannot be achieved without discipline and consistency. You understand? Between goals and achievement are discipline and consistency. I pray that you all put your shoes way under the bed that night so that you got to get on your knees in the morning. And while you're down there, thank God for grace and mercy and understanding. We all fall short of the glory. We all got plenty. If you just start thinking of all the things you got to say thank you for, that's a day. Right? So you have all been given these gifts. We have a little boy in our show. We're doing Raise Him in the Sun. And we have a circle. We pray every day. And his prayer, this boy is prayed up. He just prays that we go out and touch someone tonight. He says, God, somebody out there needs us tonight. And we all have that unique gift to go out and touch people, to affect people. Understand that gift. Protect that gift. Appreciate that gift. Utilize that gift. Don't abuse that gift. Treasure it. You have it. You already have it. And finally, I'll say this. You'll never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. I'll say it again. You'll never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. Now, I've been blessed to make hundreds of millions of dollars in my life. I can't take it with me, and neither can you. So it's not how much you have. It's what you do with what you have. And we all have different gifts. Some money, some love, some patience, some the ability to touch people. But we all have it. Use it. Share it. That's what counts. Not what you're driving, not what you're flying in, not what kind of house you bought your mama. But buy your mama a house. We are all in this fraternity together. I'm just one of y'all. I'm just another actor up here on stage. We all started in the same
way. All right. That was Denzel Washington speaking to some young kids. He could have talked their thoughts like that.
Wow.
How about that for power?
That was pretty awesome.
That was very awesome.
It is sweeping the internet. It's on YouTube if you want to see the clip. But, you know, I don't think that he knew anybody was really taping this. They taped it from the audience. Mm-hmm. And while he was on stage talking to the students, you know, Denzel is the guy with no scandal. He doesn't really hang with Hollywood folks and all of that mm-hmm. stuff. And he has really maintained his space in such a crazy world. But I have so much respect for him for a lot of reasons. But one of the things is that his words are powerful.
Right.
So I definitely wanted to highlight that part of Denzel Washington.
See, that just made him that much more awesomer.
Well, I knew I was taking a risk talking about Denzel and so with you two. But this was just, in our phenomenal woman of Maya Angelou, phenomenal was phenomenal on Denzel's part as well. Not mm-hmm. only is he the movie star-looking kind of guy, he actually is kind of giving words of wisdom, and he's pushing, you know, the next generation forward. Now, Denzel is also performing on Broadway, A Raisin in the Sun, through June 15th. So he's still performing Broadway. So if you
and it's almost impossible to get a ticket. I just want to add that.
Oh,
I've been trying to get a ticket. The cheapest ticket I could find is $400-something.
Oh, my God.
It is Denzel. Julia Roberts.
I would love to see that. Okay, maybe not.
Yeah.
Julia Roberts. Well, let her tell it. He's not that popular. What's the big deal with that guy? I don't get it.
Yeah, I'm still going to try and get a ticket, though. I really want to see it. I try to see him every time he's on Broadway. I missed Senses, and so I was very disappointed about that, but I want to see this. I'm hoping that I'll be able to find a ticket. Maybe, Ron, maybe you can help me out with that.
If we'd have gotten early enough, I would have seen if we can review that. I never really tried to get a review credentials, but it would have been worth a shot.
Yeah.
Long as when you talk to Denzel, I don't really tug on him. I think my credentials are going to be
No problem. I can behave myself. I just want to get in there.
I can't make any promises.
I know. I was going to say, that's you, Kathleen. I don't think Kai is going to make that same promise, so she's going to be strictly phone interview. All right, I just want to invite everyone. You're listening to Black on Black Crime. And we have Anna and Maya Angelou today and just played an inspirational clip from Denzel Washington. I don't know what to say about him. I mean, I know we talked about Dick Gregory. We talked about, Denzel. We can talk about a bunch of inspiring people, and I think it's really good that Maya Angelou is actually – sparking the conversations for us to talk about good in people as well. The problem with being in Hollywood or being in the mainstream or being in media is that people get an impression of you, and it flies. It's like thinking that Malcolm and Martin don't like each other,
right?
Mm-hmm. Because what the civil rights movement did is people tried to pick sides, and I must quote Mr. Sims, Kai's mm-hmm. dad, and I know I've done this before, but I love this quote. When he was younger during the civil rights struggle, he was in church, and he followed mm-hmm. Martin, the teachings of Martin Luther King. Mm-hmm. He said, but now in retrospect and listening to what Malcolm said, Malcolm was also right. And he said, mm-hmm. you guys have to be smarter. And I've always took that to heart.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I never, you never hear me pick a side. I don't care what happens, whether you see
right.
something crazy happen in the media or on TV and you say, hey,
right.
that guy's flipping out. You never hear me say anything negative about the guy who everybody perceived to be flipping out, because the reason that they're flipping out may be beyond us at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can't take all of those words back. It's like the whole OJ stuff where everybody thinks that man is guilty, when at the same time you come back and find out, hey, wait a minute, they planted blood. Oh, wait a minute, you know,
right.
her
right.
actual boyfriend was out of the country. Oh, wait a minute. Like, when you find that stuff out later,
right.
that the cell phone company, he was using his phone, said, oh, we can't find the records. We know exactly where he was, but we don't have the records anymore. When you see
right.
stuff like that happens, you need to update your
yeah.
thinking.
And it's amazing, even with that story, people try to get you to take a side. The fact of the
exactly.
matter is, some people lost their life tragically.
I don't know if I said this during the show, but you know Arsenio Hall was canceled. I'm going to talk
that.
About this. I'm going to talk about this on the news.
You mean the new Arsenio Hall?
The new show. It was renewed for a year, and then they canceled it the other day.
Oh, fine.
Yeah.
Right. And so, and as I played that great clip from Maya Angelou, and I can tell you from having Russell Simmons, Angela Bassett, all of these people who are not getting mainstream look from any talk show, his ratings were good, but they canceled it saying, hey, because his ratings were a little lower, they weren't sure if the affiliates was going to try to change time, so they were preempting it and canceled the show before the ratings got too low that they wouldn't have value. That sounds like somebody's making something up on the fly. So what's going to happen is that you're going to hear the cynical people come out talk about, see, the show wasn't good, didn't appeal to us, or blah, 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 the people who didn't watch it. But the people who watched it, as I took all of these Internet comments of people commenting on the show, are pissed that it's off. But, you know, Rock got canceled. Its ratings was high. Living Single, they were pretty much forced out. There's an easy precedent for this that says that once the establishment doesn't want their competition or whatever, they will take you off the air. So hopefully OWN picks them up or somebody else picks up that show, but CBS Distribution actually canceled the show on their behalf.
I watch none of the only shows, those other shows. The only one I watch is Arsenio.
Yeah,
because
neither do
not,
I. I mean,
not featured there.
Yeah.
So we're talking,
yep,
about, they're talking about the money that's made on African-American movies, all the money that's made because of the television shows that are now featuring African-American Scandal and Grey's Anatomy,
yep,
written by Black, you know, all this money that is in media because Black people are watching, right? So
yep,
where is the forum for those people to showcase who they are in real everyday life? Arsenio is the only one. The rest of them may get a real quick 5 seconds on whichever Tonight Show, this, that, and the other, but not on a reg. He has more diversity on his show than all of the others combined. You know when I had a feeling that they may try to cancel him? The night that Prince did his entire show and his ratings were higher than the other guy.
Yes.
That for the show. And I said,
yeah,
okay.
Really? His ratings were good. I wasn't even planning on talking about that today. Go ahead.
And you know what happened with the game? They canceled that, and enough people protested, and they brought it back. So this may need to be one of those situations where,
I think,
we let them know that this is what we want.
I think as everybody struggles with talk shows, and you know, Tyra Banks' talk show is coming back. her daytime talk show is coming back, and it's probably because Queen Latifah's there. So Disney offered a deal to Tyra Banks. See, when you have diversity, you either have competition or they take you off the air. But for a late night, I think OWN needs to up their game and get Arsenio, because Arsenio's ratings were good.
Yeah. So, and this would be a good time for OWN to bring that kind of programming in. I totally agree.
And before we wrap up the show, I just want to say you're listening to Black on Black Crime. We're doing a little bit more of the world of news and entertainment segment. And the writer, William Nicholson, the British screenwriter of last year's Mandela's biopic, The Mandela Long Walk to Freedom, which starred Idris Elba. I said his name right, Kai. Kathleen, are you guys proud of me?
Idris Elba, not Idris.
My bad. I thought I got close. All right. Well,
you got the last name good.
He should put an E on the front of his I. It shouldn't be an I, it should be E. Idris Elba in the title role. And screenwriter is apparently devastated that the film wasn't quite the critical and commercial hit that he obviously expected to be, telling an audience at this Hayes Festival in England that the Oscar voters ignored his film because 12 Years a Slave sucked up all the guilt about black people. He's saying white people had guilt, so they voted for 12 Years a Slave opposed to Mandela's Long Walk to Freedom. Now that, I don't know if that guy's black, but that would be a black old black crime if he is.
Not because the movie was great, just because the white people felt guilty?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, geez.
People like to make excuses when stuff happens for black folks.
We're going
to
have to pull this hotel over there with Julia Roberts. It's going to be a conference
in
the corner.
we are missing Maya Angelou as we speak. You need to call somebody.
It's going to be a lot of coattail pulling, I tell you.
Now, Will Smith is planning on getting into the New Year's Eve special business. So Overbrook Entertainment Production Companies are currently developing plans to produce a New Year's Eve television special similar to the New Year's Rockin' Eve, the Ryan Seacrest, Dick Clark production program.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
all the details says is that it's set to be in Miami. Anybody who cared. And FX is set a Monday, August 4th premiere date for the new comedy series Braddock and Jackson. It's an odd couple-like project first announced about a year ago with Kelsey Grammer and Martin Lawrence. So for those who say, where is Martin Lawrence? Those two are starring as Chicago lawyers from different backgrounds, of course, who form a partnership after accidentally meeting in court in their worst day of their lives. Brought together by greed, they develop a partnership and friendship, forcing each other to have balance, that kind of thing. But it's brought to you by Bob Boyette and Robert Horn. They're writing and executive producing. Now, if you don't know, they did Family Matters, Perfect Strangers, Full House, Living Single, Designing Women. FX ordered 10 episodes of the sitcom. If it does well on their first 10-episode run, they're going to order 90 episodes. If it does well in 10, they're going to do 90 episodes.
Wow.
So the series will air back-to-back on Mondays for 5 consecutive weeks, starting August 4th.
We're honoring Dr. Maya Angelou, and apparently it's just encouraging to see that even as we speak, she's still on the minds of people. A friend of mine just posted on Facebook a program about her funeral services by Yolanda Adams, and I'm just looking at all these different pictures and different actors that she's with. So if you guys get an opportunity, check that out. Someone just posted it.
The private memorial service held it on Saturday, June 7th at 10 is for family and close friends. And they said since the venue, the Wade Chapel, was small, they are going to live stream it. You can go to mayaangelou.wfu.edu, which is Wake Forest University.edu, /memorial-service/livestream, and you can watch that live on Saturday at 10 a.m. if you want to check that out. But I think that with Maya Angelou passing, I just want to say that I appreciate Maya Angelou just from not just all of the stuff that we talked about and learned about today, but I really want to, put that out there to say, hey, I'm glad that we got a chance to do the program. Thank you, Kathleen, for suggesting it. And Kai.
Yeah, I'm clapping with Kathleen's clappers.
to do some applause for Kathleen, right?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Kathleen. Right, absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah. Matter of fact, let's do a little final thought. What is it? Do you have any final thoughts that you want to share, Kathleen?
Yeah, I want to thank her for teaching me all that it means to be a very powerful and phenomenal woman, and in her days to show me that I need to live that every minute of my life.
Well said. Now, Kai, is there any final thoughts that you would like to share?
Yes, I have a lot of work to do.
You do not.
Bottom line,
you put in a lot of work.
Yeah, I gotta get on it, doggone it.
Okay. All right. Now, I don't have anything in particular, but I am always moved to learn so much about anybody. And I think sometimes we do wait and pull back instead of respecting people up front to find out what their story is, that we kind of blow things off or brush them off. But I am glad that other people in industry and nobody is forgetting her, and there probably are going to be 12 memorial services, and I support all of them. So on the note, I just want to say that and thank everyone for tuning in, everyone on the line. If you're listening to this in archives, hey, tell a friend to tell a friend. You can pass it on to check out the show. We have Calamus Kai Sims, our commissioner, minister, attorney. Kathleen Williams is here. Hey, and I did get some text from Daniel, from Brother Daniel, during the show,
hey, Brother
by the way.
Daniel. Awesome,
Brother
Daniel.
Hey, Rama, I do have one more message. I would like for President Obama to establish a statue and tribute to Dr. Angelou on the Washington Mall.
Oh, that would be so awesome.
You know what? That sure would. And I think that's, like, right in his wheelhouse, too. Like, I think he might make that happen. So that should be pretty cool.
I think you may have just given yourself an assignment, Kathleen.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Hey, start a petition on the White House gov, and if it gets enough signatures, then the president will respond.
Yes.
We should do that.
We
Let's
should.
Do that,
I'm
okay?
listening to the voice, and
do
I think
it.
It's speaking to Kathleen.
All
Let's
right.
Let's do it. Let's draft it, and the three of us can get it out there. These petitions go out about saving every animal and every this and every that, which
mm-hmm.
is wonderful. But we can mm-hmm. do one to do this for Dr.
There you go. I am with you on that one. All right, sounds like a plan. All right, so thank you everyone for tuning in. You're listening to Black on Black Crime. Check us out every Monday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we will see you again next week. Kathleen, for Kai, for myself, and you guys can shout it out. See you guys again next week.
Good night.
Thank you both. Have a great week.
You too. Right. Bye-bye. Bye, Rome.
Bye-bye.
See you Thursday.
Oh yeah, Kathleen, Thursday on the news, we'll be on. See you Thursday.
Yes.